It's been a good day, a busy day for many. We had a great service this morning, and then went to Hillcrest Nursing Home in Ashland City this afternoon. Had a service there. We appreciate those residents who came there, the dining hall, and had worship with us. And then many of you were at the funeral home this afternoon at Anderson and Garrett and Jolton for Penny the Walker's visitation service. And the family will be there until 8 o'clock if you'd like to go by this evening after service. And then tomorrow, beginning at 12, there'll be a visitation until the funeral at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. But she affected a lot of lives, and very, very big crowd there this afternoon. And so thankful for her and her family, and continue to keep them in your prayers. We have a lot going on here with Bible Bowl and practice this afternoon, and baby shower next Sunday for Shelby, and so many other things going on here at Pleasant View that are good. Hopefully you'll participate and help us make all those things great. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Lord, we're thankful for another evening in which to worship you, to come together as friends and neighbors and Christians, to open your word and study and sing praises to you, and know that you are the only true and living God, that your Son is the only Savior. We know the world offers other saviors and other ways of thinking, but we know that salvation is found only in your Son. We're thankful that his blood washes our sins away when we obey the gospel. It continues to wash us clean as we go to you and confess our sins. And we are thankful for that free gift of salvation, something we did not earn, but something you give to us freely when we contact that blood of Christ. We pray tonight that you be with the Walker family and all that is done in honor of Miss Kenitha today and tomorrow. We pray that all that we do in that regard and honoring her is also a great honor to you, and how you blessed us with her life and blessed all the lives of those who've known her. We're thankful for those who've been treated for illness and those who are getting better. We pray that you continue to be with those who are struggling spiritually tonight. Maybe some here tonight that are overwhelmed by questions and doubts, and you feel very distant to them, but we know that you're close to all of us, and that we simply need to go to you in prayer and bring all of ourselves to you and have a right relationship with you again. Bless us tonight as we open your word and study, think about the things that matter in faith, think about eternal things that will affect our soul. Continue to love us and forgive us. Give us mercy and grace. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. This afternoon at Hillcrest, we talked about love. We talked about what love is about. We looked at it as an acrostic in each letter of that word, trying to describe what love is. I want us to summarize that a little bit for you, for those that weren't there, and also in the service, was something we've done before, just looking at the description related to the topic of love. This afternoon, we talked about love. We talked about the letter L in the word love, and it starts with Lord. Think of the word Lord when you think of love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, says, "We love because he first loved us." John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." So when you think about love, you think about God. We see love all around us. We asked this afternoon, I asked the room, so what would life be like without love? Can you imagine a world that didn't have love in it? It's easy for us to recognize all the hate in the world. It's easy for us to see all of the shootings and the conflicts and the fighting and the destroyed homes and all the terrible things that go on around us. We say, there's just, look at all the hate in the world. Well, that's true. There is a lot of that. But we also see a lot more love. And we need to notice it. We need to acknowledge it. We need to see all the things that are done for people on a daily basis simply because somebody else loves them. God gave us a world that's full of love. He loves us every single day. In Romans chapter 8, Paul said that nothing can separate us from that love. He said, imagine yourself in peril or in nakedness, or being threatened with a sword, those things. He said, when all that happens, you should never think, well, God doesn't love me anymore. He listed all those things. He said, what can separate us? And all those terrible things. He said, nothing can. When you're at the depth of life, when everything is beating you down, Paul said, that did not change the love of God for you. So love starts with the Lord. He shows us His love on a daily basis. And then we talked about the letter O. We said that's going to, we're going to use that letter to talk about love being obvious. It has to be obvious. You see a couple, you see two people together, and sometimes you'll see a married couple and you'll say, I don't know that they love each other. I look at how they talk to each other. I look at what they do together. I look at how they talk to their children. I don't know that. I know they're married, but I don't think they love each other. It's not obvious. When two people love each other, it should be obvious. God sent Jesus to this earth and died on the cross. That's a very obvious act of love. It can't be plainer. When two people look at each other and think they love each other, well, that's got to be shown. It's got to be obvious. It should be obvious to the world. It should be obvious to everybody. That's why you have wedding ceremonies. What's a wedding ceremony all about? It's to show the world, to be obvious in your love for each other, to be very deliberate in that. Love's not a secret thing where you can just hide it away and say, well, yes, I have love for God, but I don't ever worship. I have love for God, but I don't ever pray. Well, that wouldn't make any sense, would it? You would say, no, I don't think you do. Love has to be obvious, or it to be anything. And then, not only, though, does it need to be obvious and demonstrated, but the V in the letter love, the word love, we think about it being vocal. Yes, you really don't love somebody if you say, I love you, and don't show it, but at the same time, you need to say it. You need to say it. A lot of people are hesitant to say those words, but they say that is the fundamental question of life, and what sustains people is simply answering the question, do you love me? You take a baby, you take an infant that is not loved, that is not held, that is not cared for, that is not nurtured in those early years, and you ask any psychologist, sociologist, any of those types of people, what does that create? What kind of person does that become in an adulthood? And they'll say it's probably a sociopath. Or at the very minimum, somebody that just cannot have relationships with other people. When that love isn't embedded in somebody at an early age, you're going to have a developmental problem on your hands. You're going to have somebody who hates the world and doesn't trust anybody. People need to hear, I love you. People need to hear that they are wanted, that they're special, that they are valuable to somebody else. Or you will create a bitter person, an angry person. That child is not going to want anything to do with their parents if the parents never look at their children and say, I love you. I've heard these tragic stories of people who say, I was growing up, my mother, my father, I don't ever remember them saying, I love you. And they don't forget that. They'll never forget it. They'll tell that story the rest of their lives. The last letter of the word love is, we want to represent the word eternal. A lot of things end when you leave this world. A lot of things stop at your last breath. But one of the things, if you're in Christ, that doesn't stop is love. You experience love for eternity. It's an eternal situation. You see in all the descriptions of heaven in Scripture, a place of love, a place of full acceptance, a place of no more fear, no more anxiety, no more tears, and all those types of things. It's just love that goes on and on and on and on. And we don't know what heaven is like. Nobody's been there to come back and walk in this room and say, this is exactly what love feels like. We We just have little snapshots of it, little small experiences with love on this earth. And you know what that's like. You know how that feels. But it's in its fullest form, and it's in its most precious form, its fullest notion in heaven. And we all look forward to that day when we can all experience it. And so what I want us to do for the remainder of our time is something we've done before. Is simply read Scripture. Now, I won't reference the passages. They're just put together. And I think the point of this is to show how pervasive love is in the Bible. How much Jesus talked about it, how much his apostles talked about it, how fundamental it is to our lives, to the church, to everything that we do, if life is to have any significance at all. He has brought me into his banquet hall, his banner over me, his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He who does not love me does not keep my words. For the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. The one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into this world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. For you will be the sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. The one who says he is the light and yet hates his own brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love is no man than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slaves do not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account or wrong suffer, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love, abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Those passages are all throughout the Bible, mostly the New Testament. You can see why Jesus would say the greatest command of their Bible, the Old Testament, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. He said, the second greatest commandment is a lot like the first one. You love your neighbor as yourself. Every blessing that we receive from God, we have to give it away. God loves you, then you love other people. Notice how many passages it says it doesn't make any sense for you to say, I love God, and then look over here and say, but I don't love the thing God made. I don't like that person. I hate that person. When you say that, you're looking and thinking about the creation of God. And he said, that doesn't make any sense. The same mouth, James says, we bless, we praise, however you want to even say that, God. And we curse men. James said, it ought not to be this way. We cannot be a shining light in the world. We can't shine light in the world so that people see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven if we hate people. We've noticed in these passages the contrast of light and darkness. Hate is about darkness. Jesus said we can't live in darkness. We are supposed to be people of light. We're supposed to be a guide. When there's darkness in your house and the power goes out, probably some power went out tonight somewhere around Middle Tennessee with these storms. You don't want to add to the darkness at your house. You don't gravitate toward the darkest parts of the house. You go where the light is. Jesus says, we're living in a dark world. If we, as disciples, as Christians, if we're the light, then what are people going to do? They're going to move toward us. They're going to say, what are they doing? What are they a part of? What do they believe? This person came to talk to me about the Lord. And I didn't believe anything they said. Didn't believe any of the things they talked about. I don't think the Bible is true. I'm never going to go to a church worship service. But hopefully after they say all those things, they'll say, but I can tell that person loves me. Because they took the time to talk about the Lord to me. That's how we're light, is this in our demonstration of love to other people. I've said before that when Jesus said, love your enemies, probably the most difficult three-word commandment in the Bible. Because they got to become your enemies some way. It didn't just happen. For some reason, you became an enemy of someone. Now, enemies are a harsh word. Probably don't consider people an enemy, but just people you don't have a good relationship with. Maybe resentment there, there's bitterness there, there's history there. And when Jesus comes along and says, love that person and pray for people who hurt you, pray for people who persecute you, that's a challenge. Disregard the other commandments of Christ, of all the other things in the, under the new covenant we try to abide by. If the only page of the New Testament just said, love your enemies, that would be enough for us to work on and try to follow. But it makes all the difference in the world. It makes your job better. It makes your family better. It makes every situation you find yourself in a lot better. You can't control what other people say. You can't control what other people do. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Control what you can control. Let them say whatever they're going to say, believe whatever they're going to believe, call you names, persecute you. Jesus assumed that we would be persecuted to some extent for sharing our faith and practicing what we do. But let the world know at the end that we love them, even if they hate us. It would be the best thing we could ever do in terms of spreading the word and growing the church and being the type of people the Lord wants us to be. God does love you. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says he wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter said, why hasn't he come back yet? He said, is it because he's slow? Is it because he forgot that you're here? Is it because he doesn't know what the world is like? He said, no. He said, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years of life is like a day. He doesn't count time like you do. He's not slow about his promise. He said, as some count slowness. Here's why he hasn't come back. He says, but he's patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So he might be waiting for you tonight. Another day to live, another day in which to respond to the gospel, another day in which to be baptized into Christ for forgiveness of your sins, another opportunity to come back to him, ask for prayers. We try to encourage you in any way that we can this evening. Whatever your need is, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing for him.